This is Radio Doomsday Live. I'm your host, Mike Luckman. These broadcasts, Radio Doomsday Live, happen every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Pacific time and 12 midnight Eastern time. We're on station number 2 on BBS Radio. You can go to bbsradio.com and learn all of the information about my guest. My guest tonight, incidentally, is a gentleman who has a varied background as a historian of Mayan culture, as well as he's been associated with and on the board of directors of the Edgar Cayce Foundation, and very interesting guy. He also happens to own a crystal skull called Earthkeeper. So we're going to be talking about the Mayan calendar, which winds down on December 31st. Of this year, which is right around the corner, about 4 months or so away now. It's unbelievable how time flies like that. And we're going to be talking about the earth changes that Edgar Cayce predicted. And that's basically what the agenda is for tonight's show. Let me give out the phone number. Our toll-free number is 888-429-5471. That's 888-429-5471. It's a toll-free number in the United States and Canada. I'd like to welcome Raymond Poppy to the program. And I'd like to start by finding out something about your crystal skull, Earthkeeper. What can you tell me about it?
Well, Earthkeeper was a great surprise to me at the 11-11-11 Crystal Skulls event. I was lecturing, and two people came up to me and said, Earthkeeper, this crystal skull wanted to be on the table with me there as I was lecturing. Then later on at 4 o'clock... Yeah.
This is the event that took place in Los Angeles, right?
What is it?
Is this the event that took place in Los Angeles?
In Los Angeles, yes. At the 11-11 Crystal Skulls event, and the 12-12-12 is coming up. Mm-hmm. And at this event, I was lecturing on the following day, which I'll be doing on the 17th, following our trip, our pilgrimage to Cozumel. And as I was lecturing, the people said that the skull spoke to them and said he wanted to be on the table there as I was lecturing. So, of course, I said, okay. Then they came back at 4 o'clock later on that day, and they said, he still wants to be with you. Would you please be his caretaker? And so I stood there with my mouth wide open. It's a 9-pound, 4-ounce agate crystal skull. And it has since turned into the skull that is meant for me, as I know now.
Have you experienced any kind have you seen any kind of physical changes take place in the skull since you've had it in your possession? Because some of the people, like Jane Dougherty, who's a psychic who was on the program about a week ago, reported various changes that have happened in the skull, which they can't explain, but nonetheless, these physical changes have happened where. I know in at least four cases, including Jane's skull, that the color of the skull actually changed in part, where it went from a milky white to almost a clear. And Jane also reported that when she was in Wisconsin with Miracle, which is a white a buffalo, that was born there on a farm, that she was holding her skull named Maya, and that skull, for about a minute, changed color right before her eyes. She said she almost dropped dead, like a pinkish color, and she said it became very hot in her hand.
For me, I notice white spots. Little clearings that appear, and I examine the skull very carefully, and all of a sudden they appear. And so there are changes going on all the time. The major thing that's going on with me is my relationship, as my relationship gets deeper and deeper with Earthkeeper, then I know when Earthkeeper is relaxed, and I know when Earthkeeper is very stern with me. And Earthkeeper cuts off computers. He's not here right now, by the way, but he's back in Oregon. We're on vacation in San Francisco. And he's able to cut the computer off if I am not doing the proper ritual or doing my lecture in the way required.
So do you think that these skulls actually have a consciousness? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. It's a consciousness, and it is part of the revelation that's unfolding now, because this is an intelligent universe, and everything is deliberate here. We as human beings have an ego, and we want to think we're responsible for a lot of things when it's all set for us already. And the crystals are one thing that's set. Edgar Cayce said in the beginning, yeah.
I'm wondering, what message do you think the crystal skulls have for humanity at this time when we're obviously at a critical crossroads in civilization?
What the crystal skulls are saying is it's a vibration coming to all of us if we clue into what they're saying. And we can also use our mental abilities as we're given. For me, it's to study Edgar Cayce and the Mayan testimony in the ancient book of the Popol Vuh and the inscriptions. And what the inscriptions are saying is that the skull is the most important thing in the Americas for the American Indian. The skull is to the Maya as what the cross is to the Christian. It's the symbol of the great sacrifice.
Okay, now, there was an event that was held here about a year and a half ago in New York City called The Legend of the 13 Crystal Skulls, which I was part of. The legend, of course, has to do, in part at least, with assembling 13 ancient crystal skulls, that they would all come into one place, which they did at this event here in New York. And very interestingly, there was UFOs showed up in New York, which is an extremely rare occurrence, within less than a week of the time that the Mayan elders predicted that there would be a UFO activity and directly following this legend of the 13 crystal skulls. And my question for you, Raymond, is if 13 crystal skulls, presumably from all over the world or from Mexico and Guatemala, wherever these may come from, and nobody knows exactly which skulls the Mayan legend is referring to, so I guess my question is, how do we know when we've assembled the right 13 crystal skulls? Do we need to put all 13 together, or maybe maybe on this cruise that you're going to be part of down in Florida, going to Mexico? That I believe may have as many as 20. I've been told by Jane Dougherty that there could be as many as 20 crystal skulls on board that ship. Is there such a thing as too many crystal skulls in one place? Too many cooks spoil the broth?
I think the more crystal skulls, the better. And my researchers show me that we must be open to every single one of them. A different crystal skulls will call to different souls. The 13 will gradually appear as we merge together in our thoughts and drop the ego in between each other and communicate. They will manifest when the time comes.
Right. And what do you say to somebody who's really not into this and who would say, You got to be nuts because I have this, a consciousness coming from a piece of crystal a skull.
Well, the whole idea of our communications today, the computer over which we're talking now via Skype, is all crystal. We are in the crystal age. We are approaching where Atlantis was. It's a very decisive point. And since this is intelligent universe, help has been placed for us in the form of crystal. That's why they're here. Nothing is here for no reason. And they have stored ancient information. They have stored memory of us, of souls in our prior forms and existences. And we're all lined up. Thousands and thousands of our ancestors are lined up behind each one of us, waiting for us to come to fruition for what they all wanted all along.
Are these skulls for everyone? If somebody can access one of these ancient crystal skulls, if they could afford, let's say, to buy it, or if they're given it, or somehow can get their hands on one of these skulls, is this for everybody? Can everyone handle this?
It is meant for everyone, and everyone can get a skull. Size does not matter. It is the consciousness, and it is the ability of the person to be open, and all skulls will speak. The language, the meaning of it all will come as we all listen, but we're all open to what the other people are saying and the crystals, what the information the crystal skulls are giving to them. This is the era of yes, not no.
Yeah. I was surprised to see about half of the easily 500 people who were in the auditorium where this Legend of 13 Crystal Skulls was held in New York had their own skulls. They brought them with them, and as you say, there were different sizes, and some of them were quite small and some of them fairly large, and all sorts of different sizes and coloration, but the vibrations there were very hard to describe, but there was definitely something going on there that I have never seen before.
It's an immense diversity and variety, and I was astounded by it also, because 11-11-11 was the first time that I joined the conference, and it was my first experience. My experience with the crystal skull is through my research of the Maya and Edgar Cayce. And then finally, the crystals, the idea of the crystal skull crystallized with me. And I realized that it's drawing more and more people to the American testimony that's waiting to be examined. Because the skull is an American Indian power.
Raymond, what do you think is going to happen on December 21st of this year, the last date on the Mayan calendar? A surprising number of people believe that it can be the end of everything, which, of course, is totally incorrect. The Mayans don't believe that. I don't believe that. But 10% of the world population polled by in a poll conducted by the Reuters news agency, came to that astounding conclusion. I think that the figure was something like 22% of Americans believe that they will see the end of the world in their lifetime, which is a different proposition, because I do think we're living in the end times. I don't know as far as people seeing the end of the world in their lifetime, certainly something that we don't want to happen. A lot of people have trepidation about that date. What do you think? And some of the Mayan leaders tell me that that they themselves don't know exactly what's going to happen on that date. Let's say of a spiritual nature, and they certainly don't expect anything of a physical nature to happen specifically then. What do you think might take place on that date, if anything?
I think we're in a very crucial time right now. I think that the idea of the catastrophe is basically a Eurasian mindset. You have the Book of Revelation where the end of the world is coming, and many of our civilizations that have come before us from Eurasia have that mindset. In the American Indian mindset, which they actually were invited to come to learn, but as yet they have not absorbed, that mindset is not there. It is a continuance, always a continuance. There's no end of us. We will evolve and evolve until we have the same love and patience as the creative intelligence running the place.
Now, in the case, he was known as the sleeping prophet, and he made some really important predictions concerning future earth changes. In fact, I think he even invented that phrase, earth changes. How do you size up the validity of Edgar Cayce's predictions vis-a-vis 2012, or at least generally speaking, the current times that we're living in now?
Well, Edgar Cayce, what came through Edgar Cayce is that all of our civilizations have fallen by the act of free will. Edgar Cayce was a great emphasis, not him, the Akashic record that came through him, the information, emphasize free will. We have the ability to change it at a moment's notice. Karma, the string of karma can actually be changed. We can get reprieve if we are able to get together, because the ability of us to commune with our fellow beings is where it's at, and to treat each other well. And that all of that can change in a minute, and it can flip in such an unbelievable way from a thing of catastrophe. Imagine suddenly a new technology appears and we no longer need oil.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine what would happen to the entire mechanics of how we think there is going to be a catastrophe now. There are things set up for us if we're ready to open and accept them and be there to help and cooperate in it manifesting.
Do you think some of the more negative type of individuals, including leaders of some countries, unfortunately, do you think that this spiritual transformation that appears to await us will go deep enough that some of these world leaders and people behind the scenes whose names we don't even know are going to have a transformation themselves, an epiphany of some kind, and that's going to therefore change their perspective regarding wars and things like that?
I think some people may not be ready to make the change, and that's okay, because it's free will. And the creative intelligence has endless and infinite patience. It will be there until we all come together. And this, in this universe, is a universe of worlds. There is so much out there, so many more dimensions that people will be going to after their individual lives, or whole new sets of dramas, spiritual dramas and evolving dramas to be played out. Every person, every soul is taken care of. And so it's not going to be tragic. Everybody will be involved in the transformation at their level.
Well, and one of some of the predictions, specific predictions that Edgar Cayce made concerning flooding, coastal flooding in the United States and elsewhere, can you just sort of run down some of the predictions that he made regarding environmental catastrophes?
Well, Edgar Cayce talked about pole shifts that happened. He talked about mainly the great catastrophes that we brought on ourselves. He mostly talked about Atlantis because most of the clients that he made contact with were asking questions about Atlantis. That's more of a Eurasian field.
Right.
And he talked about how we created our own catastrophe with weaponry. And that weaponry involved crystal. He said that crystal, in its origin, in its purpose of creation, is to communicate with other worlds, with other dimensions. And it could actually be used to get information from these other dimensions. And UFOs, of course, are included in that, and all the different beings that would classify. I'm losing my track. It's pick me up
right,
a little.
That's bit. Okay. The Mayans believe that a pole shift takes place every 24,000 years, and that certainly would be a worst case scenario if anything like that ever went down.
Yes.
And the pole shift idea is something that even Albert Einstein subscribed to as a distinct possibility.
Yes.
From a physics point of view. What do you think the likelihood is of a pole shift happening? What would you say the window might be for a pole shift happening? And finally, what do you think the results of a pole shift would be? Would there be any humans left to populate the Earth?
Well, the marker is 26,000 years. Because the Mayan calendar, this small cycle, we call it the long count calendar, is 5,125, which is five times that is approximately 26,000 years. And it's the galactic cycle. It is the way that's what's being talked about right now when the sun lines up, with the Earth. And the center of the Milky Way. We're going through that galactic alignment now. And for the Maya... Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask, how much, you know, what would you say the window might be of something, you know, what are the odds of something like this occurring in the coming years, or even for that matter in our lifetime?
I say the odds are very great. For something to be happening in the year 2013. I always say
really?
2013 because for the Maya, when I give a Mayan calendar reading for people, there are the two main numbers. It is 20 and 13. Those are the two things that the Maya are always concerned with. And the Maya, when they came up with this calendar, had no idea of what our years would be. They came up with this in BC. So it's amazing that their two numbers, 20 and 13, are matching the end of the calendar in our years. That's one of the strongest proofs of the validity of this calendar. So 2013 is the max.
Are you saying, Raymond, this might all be over for us? This physical existence on the planet, or for most of us, within a period of a year and a half?
I don't think there's a chance of that. My research tells me that we're evolving, and this has gone on for a long time, this evolution that we're in now. And the civilizations... go ahead.
I was just going to say, Hanbats, men, the Mayan solar priest who I know, talks about millions of people would die in the instance of a pole shift. And I think he's understating it extremely much.
That could happen. It's happened before. It depends on how open we're going to be. It depends on how the crystal, we're open to the crystal skulls. That's why we're making this pilgrimage on 12-12-12 from Miami across the waters of Atlantis to Cozumel. which is the great healing center and shrine of Ischel, the moon goddess and the healing goddess. These are steps that we're taking because our ancestors and through the crystal skulls are leading us to do this. It sounds like it has no practical value at all to do this kind of ritual. But ritual is important because it is the language of the heart. When it has no practicality at all, it seems, that's when the heart trusts us and loves what we're doing. And that's how we become open. And that's how the heart will begin to speak through our
throat. Are you saying that we could literally alter destiny if we put our minds to it?
Yes. Free will is the main message of Edgar Cayce. Free will overrides everything. What we want is what we manifest here. And so when we're willing to just take a chance and do a ritual, the heart of all of us is ecstatic. And it will open to us and give us messages that hitherto have been hidden and kept out of the light.
Yeah. You're fading a little bit on me.
Oh, how do I sound now?
Well, I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so these crystal skulls are like extremely powerful.
Yes, they are.
Where do you think the safest place is for people to be? In this time period for people to be living, where don't you advise them to be?
It's about alignment. The entire sense of us is about aligning with the intelligence that is the master of this place. The master of this place is not us. We are only one of the living entities involved. Many other entities are here beside us, and that's what the American Indian is trying to say. The animals and the plants are here too. Everything is alive. And our job is only to align and do the spirit work we need to do and not fear and worry about where that leads us. We will be taken care of.
Right.
I learned that in Buddhism too. Yeah.
Can you tell my listeners a little bit more about this event that's going to be taking place starting in Florida and then moving over to Mexico?
What it seems to me is
that it wraps up just like a matter of days before the December date.
Okay. It's called the 12-12-12 Crystal Skulls event, conference, actually. We did it in 11-11-11. They did it in 10-10-10 and 9-9-9. And this is the one that's going to be even more powerful. It's accumulating. We are going to be in Miami on December the 12th, 13th. And people can go if they want to make this pilgrimage with us. There's still plenty of room on the cruise ship and at the hotel there, the Sheraton in Miami. So they can go to the website at crystalskulls.com. They can find us. They can find us at 12-12-12 Crystal Skulls event on their computer. They can register and come with us. And we are doing this, the idea, because we are in the Americas right now. We are in what Edgar Cayce called the Red Lands. It's a different resonance here. And the people who came here 500 years ago are still not absorbing what they came here to learn. They thought that they came to conquer, but things happen on many different dimensions. They were actually invited to come here to learn another aspect of spirit. And so what we're doing is we are conducting rituals in Miami at the Miami Circle, a Takesta Indian site recently discovered and who probably had contact with Atlantis in the ancient days. We're starting there with rituals with the skulls, And then we go on board ship and we have conferences. We talk about it and we find out what's coming up from the waters below in Atlantis, the crystals underneath there. We are absorbing. We're open to every soul's testimony. And then we get to Cozumel. We go to San Gervasio, which is the site of Ixchel, which is many people in the ancient Mayan world took their trip across there from Tulum to pray for their healing, to pray for their enlightenment. We're doing the same as they did for thousands of years. And we are standing in line with those ancestors, and we're doing what we're led to do. And we feel that when we do this kind of a ritual, magical things can happen for us. It's not to relieve us.
Are we witnessing the birth of a, in a sense, of the birth of a new religion almost?
A new consciousness would be better told, because the names of the names of the creator are all the same. There is no difference. That's why in Atlantis, Edgar Cayce talked about the followers of the one. There's not followers of the one.
Let's talk about Atlantis a little.
Yes.
Give my listeners, if you will, a sense of the connection between the Mayans and the Atlanteans.
Yeah, well, the Mayans were at the crossroads, as it seems, between Atlantis, the ancient continent in the Atlantic Ocean, and Mu Lemuria in the Pacific. The Mayans are exactly there at that crossroads. And my research shows me that they absorbed the spiritual testimony from both places. And this became the testimony of the Red Lands. Edgar Cayce said that the Red Lands are the lands of the Americas, including Atlantis. And it has a special Adam and Eve. There is not just one Adam and Eve. I think sometimes the people in the world and in the religions make a mistake when they try to make it all one story. Our story is diverse. There are many different beings and in true infusions of the divine that came in different areas unknown to the others. And what we're doing is beginning to know the testimony of the Amaya, and it involves the crystal skull, because the skull is the symbol of the sacrifice of the Mayan Christ. When I speak of the Christ, I mean one of the many divine infusions that appear at various times to help us.
Yeah. What about Atlantis itself? How do you think life was in Atlantis? What can you tell us about Atlantis per se? What do you think was going on there?
I think Atlantis was a very high civilization spiritually. They began to work with crystals, and they achieved a higher and higher level of civilization. Edgar Cayce said that they were sort of an entrepreneurial culture, a group of business people and who reached a high level of spirituality. Ancient Mu Lemuria actually reached the highest level of spirituality, he said, in the Pacific. But Atlantis... Yes?
Do you think they were more advanced than us?
I believe that they were, but I believe that we're approaching where they were, and we're coming to the same problem that they had, the destruction of themselves, the manipulation of weather, the manipulation of weaponry and crystal. Edgar Cayce spoke about a death ray, and the laser has come on, it's going to be developed. There are many things in the being developed technologically now that are secret, unknown to the populace, that are a danger to us. And it's up to the human beings, the people in the world, to not just to pray and not just to do ritual, but also to do the things necessary to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to deal with Caesar in the incarnate also.
Let's talk about the Planet X for a minute. The Mayans believe in Planet X. I knew was a friend of Zechariah Sitchin, because he lives in New York, and he did some press conferences together and some other events. And I also worked with the late Tom Van Flandern, who was the one-time chief astronomer for the United States Naval Observatory.
Yes.
And Tom made the initial announcement to the government's, of the government's finding of Planet X.
Yes.
These days, of course, NASA tries to, all too conveniently, to label Planet X, or Nibiru, as it was known to the ancient, by the ancients, as a hoax.
Yes.
I'm sure it's not a hoax. Do you believe in Planet X? And if so, where do you think Planet X may be located now? Is it on its way back here? Is it in close proximity? Or if not, when do you think it might be? And when do you think we might be feeling the effects, the gravitational effects of Planet X? Or perhaps are we feeling them already with earthquakes and all of these other problems that we're having environmentally?
I think the Planet X has come into the consciousness for a reason. I believe that there is such a body out there. I believe that it's been here before, and there have been infusions to us that changed our civilization from there, and that it will one day come back. Whether or not it will cause destruction or anything else is also dependent on our free will, because we have the ability to change everything. We have the ability to focus our technology on communication instead of weaponry, and we can actually find out what the message is coming from this planet. And as it approaches, we will find out even more.
Well, Raymond, this almost sounds like exercising mind, like an exercise in mind over matter. Is that what it boils down to?
It's not exactly that. We have the power to align. When we align, we are going in step with the whole thing, because we're just little civilizations that have developed. And when every person goes to sleep at night, they really do very little. Everything is run from inside them. As we walk around during the day, we think that we're responsible for everything, but it's all run for us, basically. Animals and plants also, they're alive with an intelligence that is below their own consciousness. And that's what I'm talking about when I say, I think when we talk about mind over matter, it is that there are other dimensions to us that we have no idea of. And what I'm saying is it's time that we get open to those other dimensions and stop thinking that we run the whole show, when we really don't.
When do you think extraterrestrials may actually attempt some kind of open contact with the human race?
I think that when they see a possibility, that when we're ready, it's the appearance of divine beings, and that could be UFOs. I don't know the form particularly that it takes. I read those creation stories, those ancient stories of ancient memory of all the cultures. You can call them Christ, or you can call them UFO interventions. I think it's synonymous. I think that we're getting help all the time because we're cared for. This whole magical place that we're in, it's too magical to believe that it happened by accident. Some intelligence is here helping us and hoping for us to evolve, but it wants us to align with it and say yes to it instead of no.
What do you think we should say to the extraterrestrials if they do land, given the fact that that human beings have fought all of these wars and there have been all of these problems and done massive pollution and everything else? what should our position be, or do we have a position of any kind that we can present?
It's a hard question, that. I think I listened to a fellow by the name of Jim Sparks. He was abducted over a period of 20 years. And he says that just like here, there is a diversity of beings and different levels of evolution among those beings. And so we have to be careful who we're dealing with and listen to voices carefully, but listen, be open to the voices, because the heart will know.
Okay. I understand that you found some connection. I believe it was, I know that you've studied Chinese culture.
Yes.
Some connection, I believe, with the Mayans and the Chinese, or possible
Correct.
Connection.
That's what got me started, because
okay.
I'm a Chinese historian. That was how my most of my life was spent, studying the ancient Chinese dynasties. I took my master's in Tang dynastic history, and I studied China for a long time. But in the 80s, I had occasion to study the Maya. And the more I studied the Maya, the more I saw China in there. For example, only two cultures esteem jade above gold. It's the Maya and China. Only two cultures I know of have the goddess of the moon and a rabbit in their mythology. And the coincidence began to pile up and pile up. And this idea that all of the American Indians came across the Bering Strait as hunter-gatherers did not wash with what I was seeing. And so I was desperate to find some other testimony. And my German sister-in-law, Frieda Tarpey, told me about Edgar Cayce. And when I read Edgar Cayce, everything changed. He gave me a panorama of civilizations prior and of infusions that are buried and hidden from us right now, but we will eventually find. And it answered all my questions. So that's why Edgar Cayce is very near and dear to me.
Yeah, but didn't many of Cayce's predictions not come true in the sense of the timing? I mean, I understand that he predicted some of these earth changes to happen, and much earlier than they have been happening. Were his predictions accurate? And if so, how accurate were they? Or were there some deficiencies there in his thinking?
Well, he said himself, "I am not infallible," because he's interpreting the Akashic record to an individual soul, and the Akashic record is interfacing with a soul with a certain culture. And it's very difficult, and words seem to lose meaning. But Edgar Cayce predicted many things. For example, he said, it's not a prediction, just the truth. He said the Nile did not run into the Mediterranean. It ran over to the Atlantic Ocean. And all the historians were in disagreement, and later on, the satellites proved Edgar Cayce right. Then he said that in 1968, the first signs of Atlantis will be found. And that's the year that the Bimini Road was found. That J-shaped beach rock formation down by the island of Bimini was found. And also in 1968 is when the Atlantean orb was found by Dr. Brown. And so Edgar Cayce had many.
Do you think we have conclusive evidence now of the existence of Atlantis, or is there still much more work to be done?
I think there's much more work to be done, and I think the Atlanteans, the people who survived, the followers of the One, are very careful about letting others know about that weaponry again. Because that weaponry also involved crystals. Edgar Cayce spoke of the Tu'a'o'i stone. It was a great stone, which in its beginnings was used to communicate with other dimensions. And it helped them in their spiritual evolution. But then they began to use it for practical purposes, for energy. And Edgar Cayce said that the crystal powered all of their devices, including submarines, airplanes, you name it. And
how
eventually...
How many followers does Edgar Cayce have?
How many what?
How much of a following today? Why does Edgar Cayce have?
How much does a problem?
A following? How many members are there, or how many chapters are there?
Edgar Cayce's following is what we now call an ARE, a constituency. There are members of Edgar Cayce to help out with the work, but the people that Edgar Cayce reached, because you have to remember in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, Edgar Cayce and the Theosophical Society were the main games in town helping the world to keep the spiritual memory, the spiritual knowledge alive. Now in these days, they criticize it as the new age, but there's a lot more information and a lot more organizations. But the foundation there, especially in the Americas, was Edgar Cayce, and I have to say the Theosophical Society also.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about the Great Sphinx in Egypt. Jane Dougherty, when she was on Radio Doomsday Live last week, was talking about this tour that she's going to conduct of Egypt, and it's going to allow her to get inside of areas, including the Great Pyramid and the Sphinx, areas that are normally off limits to the public. Edgar Cayce is known for having predicted that some great library existed at the foot of and below the Sphinx. What can you tell us about that?
Well, Edgar Cayce said there were three centers, Akashic record centers. One is in off Yucatan or in the Yucatan lands of Mexico, what is now Mexico. One is under the ocean in Atlantis, and he said a third was under. I always get it mixed up. The right paw of the Sphinx, I think.
the right paw. Well, that's the one that we have to have Jane try to get inside.
Yes.
See what's going on?
Very anxious.
What do you think the Akashic Record Library would consist of?
It is the memory of us. It's the memory of our great tries in the past and our levels that are now hidden from us, that went under the ocean deeply. And we cannot find it with our technology yet, because we have to remember our knowledge of history is dependent on technology. We're lucky now we can find things at the bottom of the ocean, much less what's under the surface. And so 75% of the Earth is uninvestigated for all practical purposes. And so we're going...
What would the effect be of finding these Akashic records?
That's what I'm hoping will happen in 2012. If I had my druthers, that would be it, that they would discover those records and open those books or whatever and begin, they might find the crystals that are there and then realize that they have power and begin to use our technology to decode the information within. And that may be the secondary purpose of the crystal skulls now to help with that decoding.
How might that information affect humanity? How might it alter our view of who we are in the world?
It will incredibly alter us and help us, but it can never decide for us. We have to decide for ourselves. It's always free will. There's not an automatic. There is only infinite time for us to do what's necessary to be done to align with the love that makes up this place. We're a long way away as I look around.
Who else is going to be accompanying you on that voyage? into the future that's taking place down in the Miami area?
Well, we have many people from ARE that are going. We have many people from the Dowsers. We work very closely with the Dowsers here in Portland, because we try to work with spirit groups, all spirit groups. It's time for the spirit groups to hold hands with each other, and there should be no differences among them. It's a time to say yes and stop saying but and no, and just hang out and accept the names that they use for the same thing. And many people, our friends are going. The Mayan elders are coming, of course, the crystal skulls. Caretakers are coming, and I now feel very privileged that I'm one of them as a caretaker of a crystal skull. Many speakers, Frank Joseph, who wrote books about Moolamuria, Chris Morton, who wrote the book on the crystal skulls, is coming. So great speakers and great information is going to be there in the lectures as we go across the waters of Atlantis. And then following up, when we get back, we're going to be debriefing ourselves of all that happened, because when you go to a sacred site or on a sacred pilgrimage, it's gradually that you get what was given to you, because you access the sacred site to the level at which you're spiritually able. And it takes sometimes the interaction with your peers and other people, and you realize what happened to all of us.
Raymond, can you give my listeners where they go to find more information about this floating conference into the future?
Yes, they can go to the website at 12-12-12 crystalskullsevent.com. And or just 12-12-12 Crystal Skulls Events. They'll find it. They'll find how to register for it. They'll find the information about the speakers. I wrote an article that's there on the crystals and the crystal skulls with Edgar Cayce testimony. And they will find also at crystalskulls.com. They have wonderful information there about the crystal skulls. But for registration, I would contact 12-12-12 crystalskullsevents.com.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you very much, Raymond, for being on the show.
Absolute pleasure,
and,
Mike.
We do this, ladies and gentlemen, Radio Doomsday Live is broadcast over BBS radio station number 2, and it happens every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Pacific time, 12 midnight Eastern time. And we've had, since this program began over the last several months, we've had really an extraordinary array of speakers like Raymond. And we want you to support the show. If you have any ideas, just send me an email at nebula2002@aol.com. That's Nebula, N-E-B-U-L-A, 2002@aol.com. The phone number for the show is 888-429-5471. That's a toll-free number, 1-888-429-5471. We've got Raymond, you still there?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
I guess Raymond?
I'm here.
Hi.
Hello?
Before we go, we've got a few more minutes left. Is there anything else that you would like to focus on before we wrap this up?
Well, I'd like to see more and more people go, because the more people we have, the more people will get this information at a crucial time. And it is now that we have to act together in unison, doing rituals that we know are pleasing to the heart and the intelligence of us and the entity that runs this place.
Yeah,
and yes. And
I just wanted to say something about the we've talked for the last several weeks about the intensity of the sun, which is something, of course, that the Mayans are very concerned about, and even NASA scientists are wondering about. What do you think, both from a personal point of view and anything that education may have said in the past, regarding the dangers from solar superstorms, the possibility of the power grid being knocked out, which could literally plunge humanity back into the dark ages for months and possibly even for years? It would be totally catastrophic, interrupting communications and all kinds of basic things that we take for granted, including, of course, the food distribution. Are we going to get through this without a without that kind of a interruption of communication?
I think it's a definite sign that the solar maximum is being reached at the cusp of 2012-2013. That's another sign of the validity of the Mayan calendar, because it is a crucial time to act. It is a crucial time to take steps. And as far as the sun goes, it's hit or miss. It's only when one of those explosions, those solar storms, take place when it directly is facing the Earth. There is always that possibility. Nothing that we have seen yet on the Earth has knocked any part of the Earth out directly. It's just in this era of technological advanced communications where it could present a great problem. And so we have a certain vulnerability now with our technology. And I think it's planned that way, that there is a vulnerability planned with the technology so that the Earth can be protected. The sun has its part to play. Everything is in alignment. And I think it could cause a great catastrophe, to tell you the truth.
Raymond, we have just a minute or two left. I wanted to ask you a final question. What, if anything, are you doing personally to prepare yourself and your family for any of these catastrophic earth changes that may happen either now or in coming years from now?
The way I prepare myself and my family is I do take certain steps. I do store food. I do store water, because we are in the incarnate. And I think everyone should take some basic steps just in case there is an interruption of a few days. But to go wild over it and start with all, basements full of stuff, I think our best weapon is alignment with the intelligence. And these things don't tend to happen when people are aligned and people are, because I feel that it's on our side. It's not against us. It's a living universe that's with us and trying to guide us. And as the Mayan creation story says, every once in a while, we do need a comeuppance, but the comeuppance is never final. The comeuppance always involves a renegotiation of all contracts, and everyone's transformation is in order and at the appropriate level.
Okay. Well, that wraps us up. I want to thank you very much, Raymond.
My absolute pleasure, Mike.
And on Radio Doomsday Live, ladies and gentlemen, the show is on every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Pacific time, 12 midnight Eastern time, and tune in next time, if there is a next time.
I think there will be.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah.